The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Derek Frost for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading from the Triangle Business Journal. And we'll start on the front page of the Triangle Business Journal with the cover story headline, Small Town Shaken. Moore County boosters and other economic development officials pick up the pieces to carry the baton of growth as power grid incident sends warning signs. And the cover story begins inside the Triangle Business Journal with the second headline, Reality Jolt. How one night in December put Moore County on the national map, but for the wrong reasons. But county officials, booster groups, and economic developers insist transformation of a bustling economic corridor is already underway. Written by Evan Hoopfer. Linda Parsons has worked in the Chamber of Commerce industry for over two decades. She's seen the devastating impact natural disasters have on communities, but nothing like what happened on the night of December 3rd. When authorities say two electrical substations were intentionally damaged, leaving tens of thousands of Moore County residents without power. It is eerie to drive down the street and not see storm damage, but see everything out, says Parsons, president and CEO of the Moore County Chamber of Commerce. Ronnie Fields, the county sheriff, said during a press conference December 4 that when dispatchers arrived on the scene to investigate the cause of the outages, it was evident that a firearm had been used to disable the equipment. We have not experienced a situation to the scale of the one in Moore County before, said a Duke Energy spokeswoman. After the investigation is complete, we will learn from this event and incorporate those findings into protecting our power delivery infrastructure in the future. Field said that North Carolina State Bureau of Investigation and Federal Bureau of Investigation are assisting in the investigation. As of December 6, authorities had not identified a suspect and no potential motive for the attack had been released. Almost all businesses in the county, with a few exceptions like some Harris Teeter grocery stores, were closed for days. Parsons said the outage came at a time when local retail shops are at their busiest, with Christmas and other holidays just a few weeks away. Devastating might be a big word to use, but this is peak shopping season for some of those businesses, Parsons says. Natalie Hawkins, executive director of Moore County Partners in Progress, the county's economic development arm, says she expects losses for Moore County businesses to be in the millions while the power is out. The substation attack has put Moore County in the national spotlight at a time when the community is undergoing a transformation. For decades, Moore County was known for its retirees and golf courses. Now, that is all changing as the county, home to more than 100,000 people, is becoming younger and more diverse. The influx of new residents has spurred a wave of new retail, residential, and commercial development that is wrinkling some long-time residents who worry that soon Moore County will become Wake County 2.0, something they view as abhorrent and antithetical to the spirit of the Sandhills. It is not yet clear if the power outage incident will have a long-term impact, especially if authorities tie the incident to bigotry, racism, and small-mindedness, but business leaders in the community and regional economic developers continue to insist one incident will not define one of the fastest-growing counties in the state. Southern Pines, we're hot right now as far as development goes, Southern Pines Town Councilor Ann Peterson says, but the irony will be if the heat destroys what makes us attractive. Primary industries. In Moore County, it's cows in the north and horses in the south. That's how Peterson says her late husband described the county. She married into Moore County, moving to Southern Pines in 1990 and attracted by the small-town charm. It's the first community in which I've lived where you would go next door to borrow a cup of sugar from your neighbor, Peterson says. Small towns of a few hundred people and agriculture still dominate the northern half of Moore County. In the south, sandy soils aren't as great for growing crops, but they are perfect for golf courses. There are about 40 golf courses within a 15-minute drive of one another in Moore County. Golf and healthcare are two of the primary industries in Moore County. Because of that, the community has long been a bastion for retirees who want to spend their golden years on world-class courses in a community known for its slower pace of life. As a result, 23.7% of Moore County residents are over the age of 65, according to U.S. Census data. That's much higher than the North Carolina average of 17%. Moore County is also, on average, whiter and more affluent than the rest of North Carolina. But those fundamental demographics are changing, led by the micropolitan area of Pinehurst, Southern Pines, and Aberdeen. As Fort Bragg continues to swell and attract soldiers, more and more military families are choosing to live in Moore County and drive roughly half an hour to work at the base. As a result, Moore County is getting younger, more diverse, and attracting a different type of industry, looking to capitalize on a growing number of residents in the workforce. It's very close to Fort Bragg, which provides us an opportunity to have direct contact with some major customers, says Josh Bronson, an Army veteran and founder of Disco 32, a Southern Pines-based business that makes sophisticated communications devices. There's a growing base of small defense manufacturers in Moore County that are veteran-owned, and we really leverage those relationships, he says. More developments. For years, Moore County residents clamored for a Target store. Some even made a petition on Change.org in an attempt to lure the retailer. They got their wish. Target will soon open its first store within Moore County as part of a 100-acre mixed-use development called Morganton Park South in Southern Pines. The project will feature hundreds of apartments and hundreds of thousands of square feet of office and retail space. Other retailers that are part of the project include Dick's Sporting Goods, Golf Galaxy, Home Goods, and Five Below. The project was seen as a status symbol for Moore County. Finally, the county had achieved enough growth to entice one of the largest retail brands in the world. Others in the community lamented a big box store coming to town. During Southern Pines Town Council meetings, Peterson often finds herself as the most vocal dissenter of all the developments that have been proposed recently in the town. She has been especially critical of the design of the Target store, telling John Silverman of Midland Atlantic Properties, the developer of Morganton Park South, during one town council meeting that the Target should be designed to look like it belongs in Southern Pines and, quote, "Not that it belongs in Illinois or Wisconsin or wherever this plan has been drawn from. This is insulting. We are super cute. This is not cute," unquote. A large faction of Moore County residents thinks the county is growing too fast. During a public hearing last year for a proposed apartment complex in Southern Pines called Patrick's Point, residents of a neighboring community voiced their staunch opposition to the project, saying it would bring traffic and congestion to their area. The meeting lasted 7 hours. Peterson says she believes her town should not bend to the whims of residential or commercial developers. The opposite should happen, she says. Southern Pines has a brand. The reason you want to be here is because we're a pretty extraordinary place. If you want to work with us, then keep the same flavor, if you will, Peterson says. If your only reason for developing is to make fast money, then I would love for it to be hard for you. If a developer comes in with a total disregard for everything that makes Southern Pines special, I would love for that to be a really difficult challenge for them. USGA role. After spending 20 years with the Village of Pinehurst, Hawkins became executive director of Moore County Partners in Progress, the county's economic development arm, in May 2021. The last 18 months have been a whirlwind. Demand exceeds supply significantly, Hawkins says. We've got businesses wanting to come here, and we don't have anywhere to put them. One of the biggest recent wins for Moore County includes the United States Golf Association announcing a plan to establish Golf House Pinehurst. The facility will feature office space for the USGA along with the World Golf Hall of Fame, which is returning to Pinehurst after moving away in 1998. The onslaught of interest means busy times for Moore County Partners in Progress. The organization is adding a third staff member, and it's managing 8 different grants for over $2 million in economic development initiatives. That is more grants than my organization has received combined in its entire 20-year history, Hawkins says. One of the grants will be used to work on 120-acre Iron Horse Industrial Park in Aberdeen, as well as a site in Robbins, located in the northern half of the county. Hawkins says most of the leads she gets are for manufacturers. She says in November, the county was working with 6 clients looking for anywhere between 20,000 to 70,000 square feet of space. Each project would bring about 30 to 50 jobs to the county. We hosted a site visit for an international firm that was going to bring $83 million in investment and 130 jobs, but they went elsewhere, Hawkins says. But at least we held a site visit. That was the first site visit in 20 years at Iron Horse Industrial Park because of, I believe, the work that we're doing to try and get it developed and site ready. Moore County, like other communities in the Greater Triangle, is seeing interest in suppliers looking to be located near the future factories of VinFast and Wolfspeed, expecting to bring 7,500 and 18,000 1,800 jobs, respectively, to Chatham County over the coming years. Southern Pines is only about 45 minutes from Pittsboro. It's possible that one day Moore County could land its own economic development white whale. Looking to capitalize on the recent flurry of big job announcements, North Carolina is looking for more mega sites. Hawkins says the state asked all counties to submit proposals for potential mega sites by November 30. She says there's a large assemblage, about 2,400 acres in size, that straddles Moore and neighboring Montgomery County that's owned by fewer than 10 landowners. The site, previously called the Heart of North Carolina Mega Park, was bandied about for years, but Hawkins says the main issue with the site was its lack of natural gas. But in this climate where giant job creators are increasingly looking at expanding to North Carolina, talks could be renewed to make the Heart of North Carolina Mega Park a mega site. I would really like them, North Carolina officials, to take another look at this site, Hawkins says. Adding amenities. Besides the pool and beach club, Pinehurst Resort has added other amenities to attract a younger demographic, such as the Cradle, a 9-hole short course, and Thistle Dew, an 18-hole putting course. Eric Custer, vice president and head of sales and business development at Pinehurst Resort, says he was recently talking with a mother of a junior golfer who expressed how much fun she and her family had the previous day playing the Cradle and Thistle Dew. 10 years ago, before we had all those amenities, I don't think fun would be a word that you would associate with Pinehurst, Custer says. I think it'd be traditional or the pure golf experience, play number two, have lunch, go home. But now, there's a hang. There's a real vibe that is palpable. Golf is still the beating heart of Pinehurst Resort, which has about 5,000 members, and that area of business is booming. The resort saw a flood of membership inquiries as the pandemic made golf one of the few leisure activities still doable in a COVID world, and that momentum hasn't ceased. Pashley says for the first time, Pinehurst Resort has a wait list for new golf members. To satisfy demand, Tom Pashley, president of the Pinehurst Resort, says the resort will need to expand its golf offerings. 9 courses plus the Cradle isn't enough to meet both our member demand and our resort demand, he says. In the next 10 years, there will certainly be more golf at Pinehurst. The golf industry as a whole is getting more dynamic. Companies such as Topgolf, Drive Shack, and Putt Shack are growing in popularity with a demographic that isn't interested in playing even 9 holes, but is interested in hanging out on a Friday night, eating and drinking with friends while playing some form of golf in the background. Asked if the resort would consider hosting such a company, Pashley says, if there's a golf innovation that's happening, we would like to learn more about it, but it doesn't mean we're going to implement it right away. We don't want to be so innovative that people think Pinehurst has lost its foundation. We don't want to be so traditional that people feel like they can't come here to have fun. I think we found that sweet spot. As far as what transpired with the power grid, Hawkins believes it's just a one-time incident and reflects very little of the county's value. I think something like this could happen anywhere in the United States, she said. I'm concerned our businesses will suffer. I don't think that long-term this is going to affect our image. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to Biz, a quick glance at Triangle happenings, written by managing editor Dane Huffman. Former hotspot to get new life. An old Raleigh Village spot that was once one of the city's liveliest is about to reopen with a new name and updated concept. Urban Food Group plans to open The Mill in the space once occupied by the Edwards Mill Bar and Grill and by Crowley's before that. The Crowley's brand was a popular part of single life for decades, but the old Raleigh Village location changed brands and the longtime spot on Medlin Drive closed in 2015 and remains vacant. Reviving the old Raleigh Village location has been challenging, says Kevin Jennings, co-owner of Urban Food Group, with costs now pushing $1.8 million. I can tell you the cost of the restaurant itself is doubled from what we would have expected to spend 3 years ago, he says. Supplies have been so hard to acquire that one supplier suggested looking for used equipment, which has become more plentiful as restaurants closed in the pandemic. That's the first time a salesperson has ever told me anything like that in my life, Jennings notes. He plans to open The Mill by the end of this year, perhaps starting with a skeleton crew as the restaurant staffs up. Former patrons will see a familiar bar area, but an upgraded dining space and expanded patio space. Jennings will have a wood-burning grill and will serve steak, fish, chicken, and more, as well as upscale bar options such as nachos and wings. The Mill will be Jennings' ninth active restaurant and adds to a part of Raleigh that is seeing new investment and growth along the Blue Ridge Corridor. "We have known that area of town for a long, long, long time," Jennings says. "We've always had our eye on that space." Duke student wins fun halftime event. Duke University continues to make headway in football, this time in a popular halftime challenge. Daniel Yari, a Duke student from Aventura, Florida, won $100,000 in the Dr. Pepper tuition giveaway at halftime of the Big 12 Conference Championship. The contest at five major conference championships had contestants tossing footballs in a large Dr. Pepper can in a 30-second period. Yari's win comes in a year in which the Blue Devils finished 8-4 and earned a spot in the December 28 Military Bowl. Wake Med begins expansion. Wake Med has begun construction on a new emergency department in Wendell Falls, a growing master plan community in eastern Wake County. The health system is building out the 24,000-square-foot facility on an 11-acre site off Wendell Valley Boulevard. In addition to a 12-bed emergency department, the facility will include outpatient lab and imaging services. With this facility expected to open late next year, WakeMed is moving into one of the fastest-growing towns in North Carolina. WakeMed estimates that 14,000 patients will receive treatment at the emergency department during its first year of operations. The health system sees potential for further expansion on its 11 acres in Wendell Falls, which WakeMed acquired for about $3.7 million in 2019. This could include a second facility for medical offices and other health services. Long run comes to an end in Durham. There aren't many businesses that last a century, and one just shy of that mark is about to close. Public Hardware, which dates to 1924, is closing, owner Buster Wall confirms. The store on half an acre along North Mangum Street has seen a drop in customers for a while, with the rising number of millennials living downtown. Wall sees them shopping more online than at brick-and-mortar retailers like Public Hardware. The business, with a handful of employees currently, was started by Wall's father, Harvey, and his two brothers, John and Ran. It was located at 111 East Parris Street until 1995. Restrooms are social media hit. Here at Biz, we love a business with a sense of humor and laughed out loud when the Angus Barn shared photos of its women's restroom recently. The popular restaurant boasted, "Sorry, fellas, this pretty space is why your dates take so long to powder their nose." The Angus Barn has been a Triangle favorite since 1960 and is completely booked for the holiday season. And finally, wait continues at North Hills. Raleigh has a new city council, but don't expect a decision on Kane Realty's proposed 40-story zoning in North Hills anytime soon. The rezoning is part of Kane's transformation of the North Hills Main District and first came to the city in 2021, but community pushback amid an election year saw delay after delay or on any vote by the council, even as the developer made concessions to appease residents. Now, with the city council pushing hard for more community input in big developments in the city, expect more pressure on Kane Realty to adjust its plans. And now we turn to some of the top news items in the Triangle Business Journal. The first one written by Lauren Onasorge. VinFast eyes IPO to pay for 7,500 job Chatham EV plant. As Vietnamese electric vehicle maker VinFast continues development work for a new assembly plant in Chatham County, the company has officially filed to go public in the U.S. on the NASDAQ under the ticker symbol VFS. Part of the proceeds from the offering will go toward investments in the development of our manufacturing facilities, primarily the planned 7,500-job assembly plant at the Triangle Innovation Point megasite near Moncure, according to a December 6 securities filing. But VinFast warned potential investors that more debt will likely be required as the car maker targets the lucrative U.S. market. The company has not yet outlined the number of shares it plans to offer or a price range for its IPO. VinFast will also need support in the form of suppliers, potentially good news for the Greater Triangle, as economic developers continue their efforts to score more manufacturing operations. VinFast told regulators in its filing that it's full speed ahead in Chatham County, where Phase 1 capital expenses for the site will total about $1.4 billion. As of September 30, $86.5 million had been incurred and recorded as construction progresses, according to the filing. Our investments in the center to date have been financed through shareholder loans, the filing notes. Our funding sources for our future capital requirements for the center's development may include further loans from our major shareholders and affiliates, as well as other debt and equity financing. This summer, VinFast said it had commissioned Citigroup and Credit Suisse to help raise $2 billion each, either through debt or equity financing, so we can get the North Carolina plant going. When asked in November if the company had raised the funds, a VinFast spokesperson said the company will announce a fundraising plan when the time is appropriate. Big names on board for Selma development. Hobby Lobby, Burlington, among retailers joining Johnston County project. This article is written by Evan Hoopfer. A major mixed-use development in Johnston County has attracted some big retailers. Adventure Development announced the first round of retailers for its Eastfield Crossing development in Selma recently. Hobby Lobby, Old Navy, Ulta Beauty, Marshalls, Ross, Burlington, and Five Below will be the first tenants in Phase 1 of a 200,000-square-foot retail development in Eastfield. Construction is slated to start in spring 2023, with store openings expected in 2024. We know that residents are anxious to have their favorite retailers closer to home and work, and we look forward to welcoming these stores to our community, says Kevin Doherty, president of Adventure Development. Retail development is taking off in Johnston County as more people and companies come into the community. Selma and Smithfield, with their proximity to Interstate 95, are experiencing rapid growth. Charlotte-based New South Partners is handling the retail leasing for Eastfield Crossing. The development is bringing 3 million square feet of industrial, retail, medical, and housing space to the I-95 corridor outside Selma. The development recently landed Do Good Foods, which is putting a food production facility within Building 100, the first industrial building in Eastfield. Another industrial building, Building 200, is also being planned. Also, Old North State Food Hall is now open at Eastfield with a lineup that features some popular Triangle dining staples, including a fried chicken joint, burger restaurant, and a pizzeria, among other offerings. The development is being managed by Hospitality HQ, a firm led by Chef Akhtar Nawab, who previously told Triangle Business Journal one of the target markets is East Coast travelers going up and down I-95. Selma recently adopted an ordinance meant to make developers aware of incentives they could receive should they choose to invest in the town for a commercial or residential project. Under the new ordinance, Selma now has the ability to, on a case-by-case basis, reimburse certain expenses to a company looking to invest in a project in the town. And our next article is written by Kaylee Thompson. Plans advance for new senior housing in Apex. Plans for a new senior living development on land that was initially eyed for a grocery store are moving forward in Apex. Evergreen Construction Company of Raleigh, which specializes in senior and family rental properties, acquired the 5-acre site near the intersection of West William Street, Highway 55, and Olive Chapel Road in Apex from German grocer Lidl, for $2.55 million on November 30, according to Wake County deed records. Evergreen is planning to develop Abbey Spring, an 84-unit affordable senior housing community. The apartments will be for residents ages 55 and older and will be evenly split between one-bedroom units at 660 square feet and two-bedroom units at 900 square feet. 21 units will be offered at 30% of the area's median income, 12 units at 40%, 8 at 50%, and 43 at 60%. The three-story building will have 18,000 square feet of community amenities such as a TV lounge, computer library room, a fitness center, community gathering space, and outdoor porches and patios. Construction is expected to begin in Q4 2023. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to our continuing series, 52 Shades of Success, Earth and Equity. The headline, Niche Knowledge. 2 years after launching, raw pet food manufacturer Viva hits $3 million in revenue. Story by Connie Gentry. About this project, the Earth and Equity Project explores the growing awareness, actions, and accountability of businesses and leaders who face opportunities and challenges relating to environmental, social, and governance, or ESG, issues. The 52-week project will highlight what selected companies and Triangle executives are doing to address climate change, diversity, equity, and inclusion and ways to maneuver the new world of corporate responsibilities. Talk about silver linings that came out of the pandemic. 2 years into launching Viva, premium raw food for pets, Zach Ayo and Jen Wu have built strong business partnerships, are shipping upwards of 60,000 pounds of pet food each month, and have 2022 revenue of $3 million. It all started with second-guessing the norms in their lives. Both Ayo and Wu felt unfulfilled in the product management positions they held at Triangle Tech Companies. Work from home exacerbated those frustrations and focused them on a business concept that would solve a niche need, one they had struggled with in their personal lives. Even before COVID, they were spending a lot of time, energy, and money preparing nutritious homemade food for their beloved Karu, a fast-growing Rhodesian Ridgeback they adopted soon after college. Karu is our baby, and we've been making food for her ever since we brought her home, Wu says. It was hard to find good options in commercially prepared pet food, which was supposed to be fresh and higher quality, but you couldn't tell what ingredients were used. We knew other pet parents wanted food like ours, so we decided to take a shot at it. 4 or 5 years ago, the raw, fresh portion of the pet food market was probably less than 1%. Now I think it's closer to 5% and growing quickly, Ayo says. The niche clearly exists, but to fill it, the couple had to circumvent obstacles, including doing all the intensely physical labor by themselves across their first 6 to 9 months and finding ways to deal with sourcing challenges and supply chain disruptions. The other aspect that has been difficult for us has been the formulation of our products, Ayo explains. Our complete line for adult dogs is balanced with 100% whole foods, unlike a bag of kibble where you'll see a lot of synthetic vitamins and minerals added to make it nutritionally complete. We were shipping maybe a couple hundred pounds a month in the beginning, and now it's more like 50 to 60,000 pounds a month, Wu says. The surge in volume has been facilitated by partnerships they established with a U.S. Department of Agriculture food manufacturer located in Burgaw and a third-party logistics company that manages Viva fulfillment from warehouses in Greensboro and Union City, California. Sourcing is a big piece for us, and the most important thing we look for is sourcing from small and medium-sized organizations that support smaller independent farmers. All of our sources are 100% certified, humane, and never use hormones or antibiotics, Ayo says. Because we opt for smaller suppliers, it may mean we need 2 suppliers of chicken or turkey instead of 1, but it makes a huge difference for us in the quality of our products. The commitment to top-quality products does drive costs up, but Viva recently determined the cost of feeding their brand to an average 30-pound dog would run the pet owner $5 to $6 a day. It's like a cup of coffee, Wu quips. We think about it in terms of investing in long-term health. Maybe it means less vet visits. We're confident we're at the best price for what the ingredients are doing, and if you compare this to some of the gently cooked food brands that are popular, we're definitely more affordable. As for investing in Viva, not an option. The owners made the intentional decision to bootstrap the company and not seek investment from outside sources. By working with our close business partners, we aren't purchasing warehouses or a manufacturing facility, and we have been profitable from day one, Ayo says. Wu says, and we're profitable in the sense that the business makes enough money so we can continually invest into other projects we're looking at down the road, like we're planning to launch a subscription service in a couple of weeks. It really makes sense for our type of product and fresh pet food delivery. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to the On Travel and Tech page written by Lauren Onasorge. Crucial period ahead for rail plans future. Costs for Triangle Rail System swell by $1 billion. Officials, politicians, and business leaders agree that 2023 will be a key year for the Triangle Commuter Rail Plan, an effort that's now estimated to cost $1 billion more than a price tag outlined 2 years ago. The plan comes down to how much Triangle leaders and taxpayers are willing to spend, but officials say concerns over the project's cost are amplified by the sting of the failed light rail project, where $157 million was spent with no results. Next year is when the public will be able to submit comments on how commuter rail will shape out. Due to the rising price tag, it's unlikely the region will be able to implement the full vision outlined in 2020, a 40-mile line within an existing rail corridor that could run from western Durham to Clayton. Prior to a recent study, GoTriangle estimated its commuter rail plan would cost between $1.8 billion and $2.1 billion. However, flash forward to today, and inflationary pressures and requirements from railroads up the price tag in that study, says Charles Latica, president and CEO of GoTriangle. It came out to be a billion more than we anticipated. So the question then becomes, okay, if it's more money than we anticipated, what do we do? Latica says. With a rising price tag, GoTriangle has sliced the corridor into three chunks with plans to take the options to the public in January. First, public comments have to be collected. After the first quarter of 2023, the plan is to take it to the GoTriangle board for a recommendation before approaching county commissioners. And as the region learned from the failed Durham-Orange light rail transit project, nothing is final until it's actually under construction. Comerica considers retail potential in Raleigh. From its regional headquarters in Raleigh, Comerica Bank is inching further south and considering more investment in the Triangle. Jerry Bowen, Southeast Market President, says the Texas-based bank is at a pivotal time, having recently announced the addition of South Carolina and Georgia to its footprint. Right now, its Southeast strategy is centered on commercial and wealth management, but could retail banking be next for Raleigh? It's very much under consideration, Bowen says. The plan was to start its southeast expansion with commercial and wealth management banking and then roll out retail. As Raleigh was the bank's first foray into the region, those conversations are maturing. That's the market we're spending a lot of time trying to figure out. When is the right time for retail banking and then also where, he says, noting that retail banking has changed as customers do more business on their smartphones. Bowen, a former Wells Fargo executive, declines to offer specifics but confirms Raleigh is on the radar and that the goal is to start retail banking locally within the next 5 years. Delta Frontier Allegiant cut RDU flights. Raleigh-Durham International Airport has one less airline and six fewer destinations. Route tightening at Frontier Airlines, Delta Airlines, and Allegiant Air has hit RDU. In recent days, eight nonstop flight services have been cut from the airport's lineup, eliminating a handful of destinations. Frontier is responsible for the bulk of the cuts, having pulled six nonstop flights from its RDU schedule, including five where it's the sole carrier serving the market: Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Cleveland, Trenton, New Jersey, and Buffalo, New York. Other suspended flights include Frontier's RDU service to Detroit, which is also served by Delta. And finally, former SAS executive out at single store. About 2 years after he left one of the top jobs at Cary SAS Institute to grow California-based single store in Raleigh, Olive Schabenberger is no longer with the company. Single store confirms the news but declines to provide an explanation or details. Schabenberger could not be reached to comment. At one time, Schabenberger, then chief operating officer and chief technology officer at SAS, was CEO Jim Goodnight's heir apparent. And now we turn to the On Greater Triangle Growth page, written by Evan Hoopfer. Food trucks sought for busy intersection. Suggs insurance owner wants location put to good use. Shannon Suggs, owner of Suggs Insurance Agency, says she and her husband, Grant Welch, are looking to establish a place for two or three food trucks to park next to Suggs Insurance Agency at 220 South Horner Boulevard in Sanford. It's a rather busy intersection and it's not been put to good use for some time, she says. I had really wanted it to be cleaned up. Suggs says she used to have a food truck stationed at the Suggs Insurance Agency in the evenings and on weekends. That got her thinking if there could be a better use for the parking lot next to her building, so she and her husband leased it. Suggs says the two or three food trucks would rotate in and out, and rental rates would be about $75 to $100 a day to start off for a food truck to park on the premises. There's just one problem. Under Sanford ordinances, this type of development isn't allowed. During a Sanford City Council meeting in November, the subject of food truck regulation was discussed. Previously, the city's regulation of food trucks was antiquated, says Thomas Marish, a planner with the city. The new ordinance, which the city adopted, made it easier for food truck entrepreneurs to operate in Sanford. However, the rules say only one food truck can operate at a site at a given time, meaning there is no legal means for a food truck park. Mirisch says the city staff is crafting legislation it hopes to put before the city council soon that allows for food truck parks. New townhouse development proposed near Clayton Walmart. A new development with nearly 170 townhomes is in the works in Clayton. The town's planning board held a public hearing in November for the towns of Little Creek, which would include a maximum of 169 new townhomes. The board reviews developments before they reach the town council, where they are approved or denied. The site sits on 53 acres immediately behind Clayton Town Center, a large retail development along U.S. Highway 70 business that contains a Walmart and restaurants like Anthony's Pizza and Pasta and Fiesta Mexicana Clayton. The development sits less than a mile from the Wake County line. The property is owned by an irrevocable trust addressed to Stevens Enterprises, an active industrial developer in Johnston and Lee counties. DRB Homes, formerly known as Dan Ryan Builders, is the builder. And finally, developer grabs nearly 200 acres. Matt Stevens, an active industrial developer in the Greater Triangle, and his LLC purchased 196.23 acres in Lee County for $1.75 million, according to a deed filed November 30. The land sits in the northern portion of the county between the Deep River and U.S. Highway 501. Stevens says that as of now, he doesn't know how the land will be developed. No immediate plans, he says. Sanford is a good place to be investing in land. And now we turn to the On Healthcare and Higher Education page written by Zach Ezone. MedTech furloughs 40, weighs its options. Chapel Hill's Titan Medical slashes costs to preserve capital. A medical technology company is furloughing about 40 employees at its Chapel Hill facility as it weighs a potential sale or merger. Titan Medical announced the furloughs December 6, describing the move as a cost-cutting measure intended to help the company preserve capital as it completes a strategic review process. Short on cash and facing a potential stock delisting, the company in late November began reviewing and evaluating a corporate sale, merger, or other business combination, as well as a sale of all or a portion of the company's assets, a strategic investment, or some other significant transaction. While headquartered in Canada, the bulk of Titan's operations and employees are based in Chapel Hill. At the end of last year, the company had 48 employees, with 6 in Canada and 42 in the U.S., according to Titan's 2021 financial report. The company set up a facility in Chapel Hill in 2020 to support its development of a robotic surgical system called Enos, which allows surgeons to perform surgeries through a single incision. With the furloughs effective immediately, Titan plans to limit its focus to completing the strategic review process and the work necessary to file an investigational device exemption with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to move the Enos system into clinical trials. In a statement, the company says it will fulfill other contractual development and supply obligations. In September, Titan landed a limited development agreement worth about $2.6 million with the medical device giant Medtronic. While the company works through the strategic review process and in view of the company's capital position and the challenging market conditions, we have had to make the extremely difficult decision to place some of our employees on furlough, Titan CEO Kerry Vance said in a statement. These employees have made valuable contributions to the development of robotic-assisted technologies, and as we have communicated to the impacted employees, we look forward to bringing our employees back to work if and as soon as we are able. As a result of the furloughs and other cost-cutting measures, Titan is withdrawing previous expectations the company provided related to the cost and timing of the development of the Enos system. Previously, the company expected to move into clinical trials next year and file for regulatory approval in 2024. TSI Healthcare sold to NextGen for up to $90 million. A healthcare software firm based in Chapel Hill has been acquired by a public company in a deal worth up to $90 million. NextGen Healthcare announced November 30 its acquisition of TSI Healthcare for an upfront cash payment of $68 million and potentially another $22 million, depending on the achievement of certain financial targets through March 2025. The deal follows years of partnership between the companies. TSI, which was founded in 1997 and has 120 employees, will maintain its headquarters in Chapel Hill. NextGen expects the deal to contribute about $10 million to $12 million of revenue in the remaining 4 months of its fiscal year. The company says the acquisition will also be accretive to adjusted EBITDA and cash flow within a year. NextGen reported revenue of $159.4 million for its most recent quarter. NextGen develops and sells healthcare software to physician practices of various sizes and specialties. By acquiring TSI, NextGen is expanding its presence in specific areas of physician practice specialties. The companies have worked together for more than 16 years, with TSI developing specific solutions exclusively on NextGen's platform. TSI focuses on the sales and support of customized NextGen practice management electronic health record solutions. Durham firm acquired by Clinigen. A small Durham firm is aiming for further growth after being acquired by a global pharmaceutical services company. Clinigen, a pharma services company based in the United Kingdom, announced in late November its acquisition of Drug Safety Navigator, which helps pharma and biotech companies maintain patient safety. Drug Safety Navigator, which has 16 employees, does not plan on changing its location following the deal, which President Molly James says enables the company to take the next step in its growth. And now we turn to the On Real Estate page, written by Kaylee Thompson. $350 million development coming to Wendell. Opadan Investment plans large mixed-use project in the town. The rapid growth in eastern Wake County is about to accelerate as a large mixed-use development with industrial and flex space, retail and residences is moving forward. On November 28, the Wendell Board of Commissioners approved the 257-acre planned unit development that Opidan, spelled O-P-P-I-D-A-N, investment company, a national property development firm based in Minnesota, submitted for the interchange of I-87 and Wendell Boulevard in Wendell. Wendell Commerce Center will be a mixed-use development that includes commercial and retail space, a grocery store, multifamily units, and potentially a hotel. The industrial and flex space will total just under 2 million square feet. There will be 5 retail outparcels with the potential for rearranging depending on the tenants and up to 650 multifamily units. The industrial space will be a collection of 7 buildings ranging from 190,000 square feet to 432,000 square feet. We found that only 4% of Wendell residents work in Wendell, so we feel like bringing a commerce center and business park to Wendell will hopefully significantly increase that percentage and allow the people that live in Wendell to stay and work in Wendell, says Tim Brent, the executive vice president of Opadan. Brent is a former Carolina Hurricanes player. He says the Wendell project will cost approximately $350 million, and the build-out will take approximately 5 years and be completed in phases. Brent said the company is anticipating breaking ground in spring 2023. The site is an assemblage of 13 individually owned properties that Opadan has been working on since November 2020. The company is still in preliminary design stages, so plans could change. The development is across from the site for the 106-acre Wake Tech campus that will serve eastern Wake County. Opadan is behind multiple projects in the Triangle, particularly focusing on the smaller towns surrounding Raleigh. It filed plans in 2021 for an affordable housing apartment community on the south side of the city, along with 2 projects in Apex, an industrial development, and Highline, a mixed-use development currently under construction. Luxury apartments near Prestonwood sold. The Connor Group, a real estate investment firm out of Ohio, acquired the Bradford Apartments in Cary in November for $149 million, or approximately $382,000 per unit, according to Wake County deed records. The Bradford is a luxury 390-unit apartment community adjacent to the Bradford Shops, anchored by a Publix, at the intersection of High House Road and Davis Drive, just down the road from Prestonwood Country Club. Wake County records show the former owner has an LLC address to Northwood Raven, a North Carolina-based development firm. Representatives with the Connor Group couldn't be reached for comment. Rent for apartments range between $1,499 and $2,799 a month. The property is 16.38 acres and has a current assessed value of $83 million. Former Raleigh headquarters adds amenities. Chartwell Property Group of Raleigh and its partner, Jefferson River Capital, are redeveloping the office buildings at 2700 and 2710 Wycliffe Road, north of Lake Boone Trail and near UNC Rex Hospital. The site is the former headquarters of Martin Marietta. The project, called The Grove, will be a two-building office campus with approximately 152,000 square feet of Class A office space and a set of amenities designed to lure workers back to the office. The campus will have more than 16,000 square feet of amenity space, including a self-serve cafe and bar, library, golf simulator, and a fitness center with Peloton bikes and rowers, CrossFit stations, an indoor pickleball court, sauna, and a massage room. And finally, investor purchases of homes drop. Investor purchases of homes fell 35.3% in Raleigh in the third quarter year over year and 37% in Durham in the third quarter year over year. Investors still own a good portion of the market share as investors in Raleigh bought slightly less than 20% of the home sales in the third quarter. Investors in Durham took 17.3% of the market share in the third quarter. But what's happening in the Triangle is part of a nationwide trend as investors are wary of where the housing market is heading. Soaring mortgage rates combined with record home prices have pushed out many potential home buyers. And now we turn to the On Retail and Restaurants page written by Laura Bromette. Raleigh restaurant closed after 6 months. Bendito had served Puerto Rican fare at McNeil Point. Life comes at you fast, Raleigh chef Kevin Ruiz says. His culinary brainchild, Bendito, has closed its doors after just 6 months of operation. Ruiz entered a partnership with two local restaurateurs this spring to open the semi-fine dining restaurant serving Puerto Rican dishes in May. The restaurant was located in the McNeil Point Retail Center along Raleigh's Wake Forest Road. But the team had a falling out, leading to the restaurant's quick closure. His partners, Hillman Ball and John Mason, previously operated High Top Burger out of the space at 2330 Bale Street. Ball, CEO of Mainland Creative, and Mason, owner of the Fresco Greek Kitchen, closed the Smash Burger concept to make way for Bendito. At the time of the Bendito's opening, Ruiz, Ball, and Mason were toying with the idea of forming a new restaurant group. That plan has now been nixed, Ball says. While raising funds to grow the business, we discovered some things that made us and potential new partners not want to move forward, Ball says in an email. Ruiz announced the restaurant's closure on Facebook. Life comes at you fast, and sometimes you have to rearrange things for the best, he said in the post. While Bendito was a passion project with a lot of love and intention, the locale and area didn't lend itself to the full scope of which we wanted to take the cuisine and experience. Ruiz, who was born in Puerto Rico, will be moving to the position of co-executive chef at Oro Restaurant and Lounge in downtown Raleigh, he said. Ball, with Mason continuing as a minority partner, is planning to continue the High Top Burger brand with pop-up style concepts until a permanent space is found. Barton Strawn has joined Ball to form Mainland Hospitality to head the High Top Burger growth, as well as the creation of a catering company. The original High Top Burger location opened in May 2020 and was known for its smash burgers, tater tots, and beverages. Prior to the Bendito partnership, Ball and Ruiz worked together as part of the team behind Lady Luck, a short-lived restaurant in Glenwood South that closed in summer of 2020. Chef to bring Croatian fare to Raleigh Ironworks. Chef Scott Crawford is planning a new concept for Raleigh Ironworks. The restaurant, called Brodetto, is expected to open in late 2023 and will serve a blend of Italian and Croatian dishes. Raleigh Ironworks is a partnership between Raleigh's Grub Ventures and Atlanta's Jamestown. Brodetto is its seventh announced retail tenant. The new concept joins Crawford's existing establishments, Crawford & Son, Jolie, and Crawford Cookshop, along with the planned Crawford Brothers Steakhouse in Fenton and Crawford's Genuine at Raleigh-Durham International Airport. The restaurant's menu will include both raw and cooked seafood portions, handmade pasta, and dishes such as Croatian lamb pica. When I traveled to Adriatic coastal cities of Croatia and Italy, the food I experienced was so simplistic yet flavorful, Crawford says. Impeccably fresh ingredients were cooked over coals and seasoned with beautiful oils and vinegars, local sea salts, bright herb sauces, and comforting broths. And finally, a new Indian restaurant to open in 23. Two local entrepreneurs are entering the restaurant industry with the opening of Tamasha, an Indian restaurant on the ground floor of the Advanced Auto Parts Tower in North Hills. Mike Kathrani and Tina Vora also co-own Tina Vora Salon and Spa in Cary. Kathrani is also the founder of Vencedor, a local staffing company. The menu at Tamasha will be laden with a generous dose of Indian flavors. The restaurant is expected to open in its 3,300 square foot space in 2023. Tamasha will feature a high energy ambiance, aiming to provide guests with a sensory experience. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to the Viewpoint page to read the editor's notebook, written by Sugata Mukherjee, editor-in-chief of the Triangle Business Journal. On December 13, economic picture gets a little clearer. As 2022 draws to a close, things on the inflation front have started to look a little better, offering some hope for U.S. consumers after watching the money they saved in the past 2 years dwindle away. That's why December 13 becomes important. That day, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics releases the Consumer Price Index, or CPI, monthly data in a report that breaks down the inflation rate across various categories. It will let us look at how prices went up in different industries, ranging from energy to food to utilities and many other goods and services. What makes these numbers far more significant than others is partially because of the remarks made by Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell a few days ago. Powell said interest rate increases and the reduction of the Fed's bond holdings will sort itself out in the next year as the cuts in monetary supply moves make their way through the system. Speaking at a Brookings event, Powell said, "It makes sense to moderate the pace of our rate increases as we approach the level of restraint that will be sufficient to bring inflation down." He added, "The time for moderating the pace of rate increases may come as soon as the December meeting." And therein lies the results of the CPI report. When the November CPI report came out, numbers showed inflationary pressure on the U.S. economy was easing. The CPI index rose 0.4% in October, the same as in September, and about 7.7% ahead of 2021 numbers. BLS reported that the core CPI, which excludes food and energy prices, increased by 0.3% from the previous month. The core measure dropped 6.3% from what was the highest in 40 years. If the next CPI numbers show the same trend from the past 2 months, the Fed likely will cut the hike growth to 50 basis points each time and for at least two more times. But if the number gets hotter than 0.4%, all bets are off. A stronger-than-estimated jobs report on December 2nd spooked Wall Street, and market caps across almost all industries have gone down in the past few days as macroeconomists ponder if Powell can afford to bring the percentages of rate hikes down. And if the CPI number comes in hot, there is every indication that a cumulative hike of 150 basis points next year is not out of the question. For the U.S. consumer, as CEO Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan Chase & Company said in a CNBC story, inflation is evaporating almost $1.5 trillion saved by the American consumer. And that $1.5 trillion will run out sometime mid-year next year, Dimon said. When you're looking out forward, those things may very well derail the economy and cause a mild or hard recession that people worry about. And that worry often comes in the form of salaries and wages not keeping up with the rise in prices for supplies such as gas, food, utilities, and household non-perishable goods. Inevitably, any increase in wages follows months after consumers start paying more for everything. For businesses, higher wages amid an intentional slowing of the economy is going to mean cost-cutting. And we all know what that looks like in the form of layoffs, delaying projects, and merging with companies that are fiscally more sound. That's why the December 13 CPI number for November could clarify the potential performance of the U.S. economy in 2023. Here's hoping the CPI number is appreciably muted. And now we'll read from the big number sections that are throughout the Triangle Business Journal. The first big number, 848. How many homes were approved in Clayton as part of the Copper District, a nearly 300-acre mixed-use development in Johnston County that will include office, retail, housing, and potentially a new school? $6.3 million. That's how much Durham's 410 Medical raised in a Series B round to support its next phase of growth. The company, founded by Dr. Mark Peel, is developing products to rapidly deliver blood or intravenous fluids to critically ill patients. $500,000. How much new condos in downtown Raleigh near the Village District will start at? Grayson Homes, a Raleigh home builder, is developing 29 Enterprise, a 31-unit luxury condo project. Prices go up to $955,000. $11.7 million. That was the price tag on the recent sale of a Holiday Inn and Suites in Cary, up $2.9 million from its last sale in 2016. The 120-room hotel is now owned by APA Ventures Incorporated, a small business investment firm in Morrisville. And now we have a story from our Around the State section, this one from the Triad Business Journal. Forsyth approves Krispy Kreme incentives. Krispy Kreme is considering creating at least 180 jobs and investing $5.8 million in food products manufacturing in Winston-Salem. And Rhode Island medical packager Nelly Pack is looking to invest $20.3 million in Forsyth County and create at least 79 jobs under agreements county commissioners approved recently. The Forsyth County Board of Commissioners unanimously approved resolutions authorizing spending up to $109,600 in economic development incentives for the Krispy Kreme project and up to $196,208 for Nelly Pack. The Krispy Kreme agreement calls for the company to make the investments in the facility over 7 years. The average wage of the new job is to be at least $33,150 per year. It's a reinvestment into the city where Krispy Kreme originated. It moved its headquarters to Charlotte in 2021, but it retained some operations in Winston-Salem. County Economic Development Director Kyle Haney said the company is considering consolidating operations into its current dry mix site in East Winston-Salem, where it has 37 employees. And we'll end with the Business Pulse survey. The question, how will you do your holiday shopping this year? Total number of responses, 266. 65.8% say a mix of online and in-store shopping. 22.2% say online only. And 7.1% say one word, Amazon. And 4.9% say only in stores. And we've run out of time for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Derek Frost, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The Triangle Business Journal is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. So long until next time, and thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.